News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. The wise man has the power, and we have a wise expert in the studio this morning with our friend Terrence A. Gross with Gross & Schuster. He has quite the length of time in trying personal injury cases. He's the founder, managing partner for Gross & Schuster here in town. Been on this show for many, many years, sharing his expertise. Good morning to you, Terry. It's great to have you here.
Good morning. Glad to be here. As usual, we never really have enough time, so I usually have to just roll right into it.
Let's go.
Yes, I am. I am a personal injury lawyer, and I want to go over something that I've been actually writing to the Florida Bar News, which is the lawyer's rag for the state of Florida, the newspaper that's published once a month. I've been talking to our judges, any of them that will listen to me. And what I call this is the perfect storm. And throughout my career, I've seen a lot of tort reform. And tort reform means attempts really by the insurance industry that has pushed legislation through Tallahassee to limit jury verdicts, to limit the ability of plaintiffs' lawyers like myself to win in a court case. And they try to do something every year. Some years nothing gets passed, some years a lot. But in 2023, a lot got passed. Probably it was the biggest tort reform package that I've seen in my entire 46-year career.
Wow.
And that came like a 1-2 punch with something that the Supreme Court of Florida simultaneously was doing, trying to expedite cases, push cases through in litigation. I think the Supreme Court's impetus was cases really, really got backed up after COVID. The courthouses closed. We really went about 18 months of hardly doing anything. It was hard to do a deposition, hard to do mediation, just because of COVID. The shutdown hurt us all. And as a result, legal cases got very backed up, especially South Florida. And this was the cure that the Supreme Court thought. So two things happened, and I want to get into that. Before we do, I have to use and let you know a term of art that doctors use that in turn lawyers use. And the term is MMI, MMI, maximum date of medical improvement. What does that mean? It's the time after an injury that a doctor finally says, you are as good as you are going to get. And that's MMI. You're not going to get any better. Some people have car wreck type injuries, mm-hmm. and they could be at MMI in 2 or 3 months, which would be very, very quick. More often than not, most people, 6 months to a year is pretty typical before their MMI, before a doctor says, this is it. I mean, you're going to have to live with whatever you have. We tried this. We tried that. We tried chiropractic. We tried physical therapy. We tried medications. We tried injections. But then there's another group of people that I really want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the saddest group, because these are the people with debilitating injuries that maybe even after a year are nowhere near MMI. They're still treating, still looking for answers. And they have a common denominator. So let's just go back to a car wreck, for instance. I think we can call all neck and back injuries whiplashes. Some people snicker. Some people think whiplashes is something invented by lawyers to get money. But it really means, it's an invisible to the eye, to the naked eye, neck and back injury. But they're not all alike. I mean, so I'll get four people in a car wreck, mom, dad, and two teenagers. Mm-hmm. The teenagers certainly have some neck and back pain. They go to the ER, go to the chiropractor three or four times, and they say, I'm good to go. I'm fine. I'm right. going back to soccer. I'm going back to cheerleader. And they bounce back maybe because they're 13, 16 years old with thick, juicy disc and kids are made of rubber. And, right. And that right. happens quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And those are very small cases that we settle for small amounts. And I see this all the time. And then there's others that this drag on. But what usually happens in some cases, and this is not atypical, is that a person, they had the neck and back injury, they go to the ER says, nothing's broken, lay low, take these little bit of medication mm-hmm. for a while, you should be good, and of course you're not. And then you may elect to go see a chiropractor, which is not a bad tool to use. They're not invasive, they're not injections, they're not, you're not taking strong medications, and so forth. You may go to physical therapy. And then some people do end on up on various medications. Now, opioids are pretty much taboo. That's a pretty much a thing of the past. Most doctors don't want to prescribe opioids any longer. But there still are medications out there, whether it's anti-inflammatories or some type of lighter type of pain medications, sleep aids, whatever it may be, orally. And then some people end up with injections. But if all else fails, the doctor says, you should have been better by now. Mm. I think we need to order some MRI scans. So MRIs are way different than CT scans. They look inside a disc and will tell you the integrity of a disc, where a CT scan at the hospital will not. And there we sometimes see what doctors describe as disc herniations, disc extrusions, disc protrusions, and all these disc abnormalities cause a disc to bulge out, to mm-hmm. protrude out into the canal. And when they start going in the spinal canal, they could start touching nerve roots. If they start touching nerve roots, a lot of my clients end up with what doctors would call radicular pain. Radicular comes from radiating. Mm-hmm. Radicular pain. Pain and numbness and tingling down the arms, if it's a cervical neck problem. If you have it down your legs, it's usually a sign of a bad lumbar low back disc. And then eventually, if your MRI is bad enough, abnormal enough, then any competent chiropractor or medical doctor would probably say, you know what, I think you need a surgical evaluation.
Oh, boy.
But this is taking months mm-hmm. now. So going back to that tort reform law, what was the biggest thing that I think happened? Many things happened in 2023, but for the first time ever, they deemed and ruled that the statute of limitations in Florida was no longer 4 years, which gave us plenty of time to figure out a case, see if a person's MMI, are they surgical or they're not, to 2 years. The point I really want to make is that even though 2 years seems like a long time, it's not. Mm-mm. Especially with the person that starts off conservatively and then, you know, tries the chiropractor, tries the pain doctor, sees the PCP, then gets the MRI, then finally over a year later they go to a surgeon. And most surgeons don't just say, you need surgery now.
No.
They'll say, let's try this. Maybe let's do a C6-7 epidural, see if that helps or whatever. And they'll try different injective therapies more specific to the area that they could see is the problem by MRI. And then when that fails, then ultimately they say, you know what? You need to have a cervical fusion. Well, what's that, doctor? Well, it's where you got three levels. We're going to have to go in through your throat. We're going to have to take out the remaining parts of your disc, and then we're going to jack it up, get it off that nerve root, use plates and screws and drill into your spine, and maybe use a bone plug from a cadaver or your own maybe bone from your hip or some stabilization process to get that vertebrae, the bone, off that nerve root, which is the source of all your hand pain, mm-hmm. neck pain, and not maybe neck pain, but hand pain, numbness, weakness. And it's kind of like a garden hose. If I was watering my yard and you came over
right.
and wanted to talk to me and you accidentally stepped on my water hose, I would say, I'd love to talk to you now, but would you just move your foot so I right. can get the flow of water back right. to my, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with that nerve root. It's mm-hmm. it's where your brain is sending all the signals to your extremities. So these doctors know, and they call them dermatomes, so they can tell that if the C4-5 disc root is impinged, that could affect this finger or mm-hmm. that finger or your palm, whatever. And most of my clients that end up in the surgery, the day following the surgery, they'll say, the numbness is gone.
Mm.
I can move my hand. And it's usually an immediate sign, immediate relief in most cases, not all, but right. in most. And but then, of course, you still got neck pain, you got plates
well,
and screws.
Recovery.
But obviously, that's a pretty big case to have surgery. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a case, when a lawyer's trying to settle, a case where there's been no surgery is going to settle for a lot less than a case if person's had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the surgery itself was over $100,000. And then there's added pain and suffering, and now you got these metal plates in your neck. And it's also very hard for an insurance company to say, oh, they're just faking. Faking? They got plates and screws in their neck? They didn't have plates and screws before the wreck. You know, so it'd be a pretty stupid argument in the court.
And now you're saying all of this has to be done within a two-year period?
Yes, that's my point, and rarely is it. So there goes my point. So most people, even if you're told to have surgery, now mm-hmm. you're told to have the surgery, A, you're probably scared to death, and you want to think about it.
It's sure.
Not, you know, number two, they say, well, it's you'll need about 6 weeks off from your job. Not everybody could take 6 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people say, Mr. Gross, I do it, but I got two young kids at home, and my husband, he works offshore. He's a tugboat captain offshore. He's gone 40 days at a time. Who and my parents don't live here. Who's going to watch my children?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm disabled for 6 weeks from the surgery. So,
and by the way, that's if you get it scheduled. Nowadays, it is so hard to get things scheduled and get. You can be 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months out from all
the above, all the above. And so, what happened? So, in the old days, with 4 years, usually within that period
mm-hmm.
of time, you'd have had the surgery within 4 years. Not so true of 2 years. So, what it's doing. It's now forcing me to file suit prematurely when a person's not MMI. They're not at the medical treatment because they haven't finished their medical treatment. If you
right.
haven't had surgery, then you're not MMI.
Right.
And so now we're filing suit and we're filing more lawsuits. So, you know, they complain about the amount of suits that lawyers file, but usually with 4 years, we were able to work out a lot of cases. I'll give you a great example. A dear friend of mine is a New Orleans personal injury lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And our practices are identical. We're about the same age. We're both pretty gung-ho. He's a very good lawyer. But the big difference is every time I talk to him or try to call him at his office, he's in court. He's the, and I was saying, what the heck? And I finally, it dawned on me, Louisiana has a one-year statute.
Oh, my goodness.
He says,
goodness.
Terry, I could settle minor cases, you know, just a little nuisance case. I could settle that, you know, within. But I file suit in 90% of my cases. And I said,
wow.
That's funny because I only file suit on 15% of my cases. So right
wow.
now I've gone from filing suit on 15% to probably 30%. I've doubled the amount.
Interesting.
And yet the insurance industry wants to blame lawyers like me. They call us ambulance chasers and whatnot. They want to blame us for the so-called litigation explosion, but here is a rule of law that they've changed at their urging, and why have they done it? Now, the reason they've done it is because there are a lot of lawyers, truthfully, that call themselves personal injury lawyers that rarely, if ever, file suit. They're not litigation lawyers. And there's one billboard guy, I won't mention the name, but there's Mr. Billboard they never file suit. I mean, it's rare. And I even talked to my insurance defense friends.
Mm-hmm.
I say, how many lawsuits do you think this, do you see? They say, we never see them. Well,
that's
wait a second. If you've got all these billboards, yeah. You obviously have a lot of cases. Where are they going? They're being settled pre-suit for whatever they can get to pay for the next billboard.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so where I it's not my DNA. I'm not going to give a case away. My job is to maximize the case. I'm not a blood-sucking, greedy lawyer. But it's like David and Goliath. I feel like I'm David against the big insurance company industry. So meanwhile, there are lazier lawyers or lawyers don't want to spend the money. Litigation is very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one denominator. The other denominator is there's just a lot of people that would rather not sue. I mean, they're scared, and you start telling them, well, they're going to have to take your deposition. It could be 3 hours.
It's intimidating.
It's intimidating. It's costly. And I can't guarantee you what the outcome. No lawyer could ever guarantee you what a jury's going to say. We don't have no idea. It's like trying to guarantee the result of March Madness, who's going to win any given basketball game, and you don't know from game to game. So anyway, with that being said, that was one thing. Now, I talked about the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
I got very little time, but then the Supreme Court almost simultaneously on their own, what they did is they said, if you file suit now, because it used to be if I filed a lawsuit, the judge didn't even know. It doesn't come across his attention or his radar, and I could litigate and do depositions, and if the other people were cooperating and I didn't have to file a motion to compel or something, the judge had no idea what we're doing. And then if we couldn't settle after a year or two of litigation,
mm-hmm.
then we'd say, judge, we want a trial date. So we'd get together, and then the judge would set it for trial
mm-hmm.
6 months later. Now, if you file a lawsuit within 30 days, you're going to get a draconian order from the judge saying, you must do this by this date. You must do this by this date. Your trial is going to be in 18 months. I mean, so coming down and setting these guidelines that I have to feel are a little bit arbitrary because they're not taking into account what, whether a person's MMI. Are you ready to go to court? So I'm being forced to file before I'm ready to file.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I file a suit, now I'm going to be forced to go to court because a person could be 3.5 years out and still hadn't had the surgery and is thinking about it, really knows they're going to have it sometime,
right?
But just not within 3.5 years. And there lies the problem. So I have written the Florida Bar about this. I've talked to most of our judges. We just had a symposium in Fort Walton where 145 lawyers were at this symposium. I was a moderator, actually, on the panel with 6 circuit judges.
Wow.
And, you know, I was one of the people that was supposed to instigate discussions, and guess what I brought up? I brought this topic
good
up.
Good choice.
because the new laws say judges, you should not be giving continuances.
Mm-hmm.
The days of just routinely giving continuances are over. But what the legislature didn't realize is, one, this MMI thing,
mm-hmm.
and number two is that these judges are only given 6 weeks a year to try personal injury cases.
Wow. Well,
there's 52 weeks a year, but these judges do eminent domain, they
right.
do divorces, they do criminal, they do condominium lawsuits that could last weeks at a
mm-hmm.
time. There could be even medical malpractice. So there's only pretty much 6 weeks set aside. And a lot of times the judge says, here's your trial date, Mr. Gross. You've got January 11th and you're number 7 on the docket. What that means there's 6 cases in front of me. If those cases don't settle, I don't get to go anyway.
Wow.
And so what they're hoping is the cases settle,
mm-hmm.
which a lot do after litigation. They do go away. But if they don't, it used to be in the old days, you could try maybe 2 personal injury cases in a week. You know, one would last 2 or 3 days, and then one would last 2. So you could do that. Because of the rules, it's now takes more time to try a case.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't get into those technicalities, but because they've changed the rules of presentation of testimony, a small case could take you 3 or 4 days to try. And so that means a judge, by definition, can only try one case every trial week, but there's only 6 trial weeks. There's not enough time,
wow.
so we're still backed up.
Right. Right.
But yet they put all this pressure on the plaintiffs, and then you get all ready and you take all these depositions, you subpoena witnesses from out of town. Maybe we get a lot of tourists. They don't even, I have clients that do not live here.
Sure.
They're on vacationing from Tennessee, and mm-hmm. they got rear-ended on Pensacola Beach. You know, they get me, but they're living in Tennessee, and you're dragging them down here, and all of a sudden you show up at the courthouse. They go, oops, sorry, Mr. Gross, we'll see you in 3 months because there's too many cases this week. We thought they'd settle.
What participated this whole thing?
The insurance industry. And they are methodical, so you're not down in Tallahassee asking for the legislature to do something. You're not a lobbyist. The lawyers have a lobby, but it pales in comparison to the insurance lobby. There's no bigger lobby than the insurance lobby. I went to law school at FSU, and I saw every spring when the legislators came and all the insurance companies were whining and dining these guys.
Wow.
It's for real. It's just a small microcosm of probably what goes on in D.C., I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a capital city. And, again, you better believe Allstate, you know, Progressive, Geico, they are lobbying big time for these legislators and contributing to their campaigns
mm-hmm.
to get them to pass this legislation. As usual, I'm watching the clock. I would love to go on. I'm glad I got it out. I just had to get this off, get on my
chest. Perfect storm.
This perfect storm, because it's happened. It's for real. And you know who gets the short end of the stick? The plaintiff. The injured party that got rear-ended at mm-hmm. a red light has real injuries. It's to their detriment, even with a good lawyer, because we got to deal with all these new rules. But if you wish to call us regarding any personal injury case, it's very simple, 850-434-3333, or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
So I can testify that he is not a billboard attorney, and that you are somebody that is extremely knowledgeable about all these changes, because there's been some major changes in the last few years, and you've talked about them on this show.
I live and breathe it.
You sure do. And he's very passionate about it. And how many years of experience are you bringing to the table now?
Only 46.
Only 46. Right. Well, there's probably some listeners that aren't even been around that long.
Right.
Terry, thank you so much. Always fascinating to have you on the show. You really are an asset to our community. You do so much throughout the year to help folks. And we appreciate you being here this morning.
Thank you.
Pep Talk.
Good
Thanks
seeing
very
you face to face.
Yes, sir. It's great to have you. Right. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. As you can see, we have great guests every day on our show. You can always go to our website at newsradio923.com and check out the podcast if you want to re-listen to what Terry just shared this morning. Fascinating topic.